Praise the Lord. Good time of worship, good testimonies, and we're ready for some more stuff, aren't we?
Yeah.
All right. Amen. I decided to do one more message on faith for today. Just how, you know, God is stirring, you know, faith for us to live in these last days. We live in complicated times. There's so many things going on around us that sometimes things come in and they can undermine our faith and make us pull back. You know, but I believe that we're all here on an assignment from God. You know, if you're here today or you're listening to me and you're a Christian, you know, you have to be a Christian first, you know. But, you know, we have an assignment from God. God has a plan for our life. God has something that he wants for us to do. And we need to find out what it is. You know, there's a lot of work that needs to be done yet till Jesus returns. Now, we know we believe in the intimate coming where, you know, nothing, you know, God just, the Father just decides it's time and it's time. But until then, we know the Bible says that we're supposed to be making, you know, Jesus' enemies his footstool. And we need to step out, you know, from the crowd. And we not got to start stop playing it safe all the time. And to do that, we have to have great faith. You know, everybody has a measure of faith. You start, God gave you one to start with. You may say, I don't have any faith. Well, that's a lie. Because you believe the lie from the devil. God has given us each a measure of faith. Now it's up to us what we do with that faith. And to me, great faith needs to be developed. So we're going to jump off here in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. Hebrews 3, verse 1, it says, therefore, holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the unction of the Holy Spirit to be here today, Lord. I thank you for a special stirring in each of our hearts that we want more. We want more of you. Lord, I pray for great faith today. Lord, I thank you. I yield to the gift you give me. I use it for your glory. And Lord, I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips, Lord. And we give you praise for the gift of the Spirit to be in operation in Jesus' name. Here we see the idea of confession. The first point I want to look at today is the great confession. You know, what's our status? You know, we're partakers of a heavenly calling, okay? You're not like you were before. You know, you might be thinking that you're just, you know, nobody, that you don't have anything, you know, going in for you in your life. But the truth is that once we accept Jesus Christ, we're no longer common, okay? We're partakers of that heavenly nature. You know, we're a different class of citizens, shall we say. We've been born into the kingdom of God, and we serve the King of Kings. See, we've been not just called out of something. You know, a lot of people, you know, when they get saved, oh, they look at all the things that God delivered them from, okay? And I know for me, you know, there was a list. You know what I'm saying? You know, there was a list of what God brought me out of. And I was so thankful for that. But what I failed to realize starting out, that God had brought me into something also. See, God just didn't take something away from my life, but God put something new into my life. And that's that heavenly calling. You know that, you know, if you just look at that for a minute, just step back. I have been called by God. Called by God. God has a plan. God has a purpose for my life. And once we start to see that, we start to look at ourselves differently in the mirror. You know what I mean? We're no longer common. We're not just some run-of-the-mill person anymore. We've not just been called out of something, but we've been called into something. And that heavenly calling, to me, is a high calling. We have a high calling from God. And it's that, that calling that brings us into the greater depth and the greater riches of what God has for us. And to me, you know, we need faith if we're ever going to operate in our Father's business. Remember, it takes faith to make a transaction in the kingdom of God. We live, it's a different thing. Now, here in America, I suppose you got a credit card too, but primarily in the old days, you had to have something like cash. They still say cash is king, right? But you have cash. Now, some places won't take money no more. They want you to use your plastic. But anyway, you have to have something like that to make a transaction. You cannot walk into the grocery store, at least in Albia, maybe in other states, California you can do this, where you can walk in and walk out with stuff, you know. But here, you have to walk in, and you have to give them money, or you can't get that stuff out the door. You have to have money. You have to have a currency to be able to make a transaction. Well, it's like that in the kingdom of God. Our currency is faith. No, you can have what you believe for. And it works like that. You know, remember the woman with the issue of blood. Everybody was touching her. Jesus was walking through the crowd, and everybody just wanted to touch him. They touched him. Everybody was touching him, and all of a sudden, Jesus stopped. Wait a minute. I felt virtue leave my body. Who did it? And the woman was kind of scared because with her condition, she wasn't supposed to be in public because she was considered unclean. She could have been stoned to death at any time. But she knew that she had to touch Jesus. Amen. And she didn't let anything get in the way. Amen. And she touched him with something that nobody else was touching him with. And that was the touch of faith. When she touched him with faith, she drew the power of God into her body and she was healed. Wow. I mean, that's faith. That's the kind of faith we're going for, people. That's the kind of faith that we need operating in our life. And we need to step out and we need to do that and understand that. We need to kind of, I think what helps is to see our identity a little bit different. You know, the Bible says we are holy. Okay, I want you to say right now, I am holy. How many felt like they was lying a little bit? Huh? How many maybe had a bad ride to church today in the car with the kids, you know what I'm saying? Or maybe, things just didn't go well. But see, if we understand what that's saying, then it won't be such a big hurdle for us to get our mind over. See, when we say our holy, it doesn't mean that we're perfect. No? It doesn't mean you're perfect. And it doesn't mean that we'll never make another mistake. Because we're going to do that. But what it means is that God has set you and he has set me apart for holy use. That's what it means. We've been sanctified or set apart. When we're born again, all of a sudden we step in to God's destiny. We step in to the family of God. And God calls us holy. Now, a lot of people, he calls us saints. I mean, there's some things, you know, sometimes we live life and we don't feel like a saint, do we? Maybe we do some unsaintly things every now and then. But see, that doesn't change our position. The position that what happens is that when we become a Christian, we have that change. We have that holy calling is upon our life and the things that, you know, that God wants us to do. And then we've been set apart for that holy use. And, you know, whatever or whoever God has consecrated is no longer considered common. You know, we need to stop talking ourselves down. We need to stop, you know, criticizing ourselves, saying we can't when God says we can. You know what I mean? You know, the devil's bad enough. We don't need to side with him, do we? You know, we know that there's an enemy out there trying to stop it. And what we need to do is to get to this place is talking about the great confession it talks there. You know, if we want to fulfill the Great Commission, we need to master the Great Confession. Okay, it's talking about what we say with our mouth. The word confession means to say the same thing as. Meaning we need to say the same thing that Jesus says in the Bible. You know what I mean? That's what we need to start saying. We start saying the word. See, to me, faith talk will help our faith walk. It's a walk of faith that you and I are on. We can't technically, you know, for the most part, you might have had a vision or a dream or something, but for the most part, we don't really see God all the time, do we? Probably hardly, would you say, none of the time? But yet we still have to follow him. Well, how do you follow somebody you can't see? Well, it takes faith. It takes faith to be able to follow him. Now, it's not blind faith. You know, some people think it's blind faith, but it's not. It's faith based upon the word of God. And then it's no longer blind. Because we can see what the word says. The word says a certain thing, and that's what God is like. God is loving, he's caring, he's compassionate. You know, all those years you thought that God was going to whop you upside of the head. You know, God bless grandma or grandpa or whoever used to tell you that. They say, oh, you step over that line, God's going to get you. You know, that's been spoken over so many times that we get a misunderstanding of what our Heavenly Father's really like. Now, I'm not saying, you know, we have a license to sin. But I'm just saying that once we see that God has called us for so much more, that we start to walk away from some of those old things that used to hold us back. See, I've always said the longest I could ever quit, my biggest sin that I considered a sin in my life was 60 days. I was tough, but I was miserable. Just miserable. Because I'd try to quit it on my own strength. Well, finally, that didn't work. I wasn't born again yet. That might have had something to do with it. You know, as I look back, you know, hindsight's 20/20. But then after I got Jesus in my heart, the day, you know, I accepted him, you know, God delivered me from something. And it just changed my life. And it helped me to overcome some of those things in my life, you know, that was always holding me back, you know. And I started to see the love of God. I started to see what God was really doing in my life. And I started to see the changes, you know, that God was doing. And I was just holding on for the ride, you know. I just kind of like them old bull riders, man. You just tie your hand under there and you cinch it down. You just go. Just hang on to God. You know, and I hung around some really wacky people. They were fanatics for Jesus, and I didn't know any better. I just thought that's how you're supposed to act. You know, but that was worth it. Things started to change, and it was a process. So don't give up on yourself, because we have to have faith talk to help our faith walk. Now, I want to ask us a question here. Did you know that you can talk yourself out of a miracle? We can. We can talk ourselves out of a miracle by the words that come out of our mouth all the time. You know, if we end up being negative Nelly or something like that, complaining Charlie or whatever, you know, we just keep saying those negative things all the time. Yeah, it doesn't do no good if you say, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, I'm blessed. And then you go out the door and you just start complaining about this and complaining about this, how nothing ever good happens to me, nothing good will ever happen to me. Nothing really ever good has ever happened to anybody in my family. So why should I think God's going to bless me? I mean, one little doodad prayer is not going to overcome 3 or 4 hours of conversation and negativity, you know what I mean? So it's our great confession, it's what comes out of our mouth. That's what, if we change our mouth, we can change maybe the trajectory or the destiny we have on our life. We can start to turn those things around. Where you no longer feel inferior, you no longer feel inadequate. You start to see that the greater one that lives inside of you, and that God has a plan and a purpose for your life, and that you want to be a part of that plan. And once you side with God, you're unstoppable. Unstoppable. See, sometimes, now I know the devil's a bad devil, right? Everybody probably agree with me on that. The devil's not going to get saved. He's going to hell. That's just the way it is. It's been written, and it says it in the Word, and that's just the way it is. But to tell you the truth, though, sometimes our mouth can be just as big a hindrance to us as the devil. It can get us in trouble. It can talk us out of that miracle. It can send us down a negative road. And it can get us into depression and discouragement, anxiety. All these things start to come manifest in our life. They start to come out because we start to speak these negative things into existence. You know, most of us are here old enough to know. We got a few young people here, but have you ever found out that the things you worry about all the time usually come to happen? They usually don't, do they? They never come to happen for the most part. Now, every now and then we may have something, but all them things that we worry about, we wake up in the middle of the night and we just can't sleep and we think, oh my, this, that, they usually don't come to happen. You know, so we got to remember that, you know, we're in this and we're in a battle. And we need to understand how we can communicate with God, because he's our commander in chief. He's the one who's going to bring us through to the next level of where we need to be. Okay? So, we know that there's a lot of languages out there, aren't they? Different languages. And, you know, sometimes, you know, we hear English, which we should. I speak American. I know I don't speak English, but anyway. We got Spanish, you know, we got French, German, just to name a few. The other day, somebody in the church called me, and we got disconnected, so I called them right back, and all of a sudden, the person on the other line was just speaking Spanish really fast. I don't know where that came from. You know, I don't know what phone service they have, but I mean, that was wild. I couldn't communicate. I know a little bit of Spanish. Taco, burrito, grande. The word grande, how many know grande? That means big taco, big burrito, you know? And I know those things, but yeah, I couldn't communicate because I didn't speak their language. And if you want to speak to somebody from that country, you know, you really need to speak their language. Now, we as Christians need to learn the language of faith if we're ever going to fully understand God. Now, I know God made it simple, but I know there's also deeper things. There's deeper things in the Bible that you and I can tap into. And the only way we're going to understand those things is we start to understand things through the language of faith. Taking God at His word. Trusting Him for what He says. Because when God sends a word, that word accomplishes that for which it was sent. And we need to understand them principles and how these things come to work. See, God used words to create everything that you see with our eyes. Everything that you see right now, everything on this planet, God created it when He spoke. And those words have a creative power. Now, we are not God. That's not where I'm going. But I am saying that the power that's in words can sometimes create the environment that we're in. Have you ever been into a situation, let's say marriage, where you're not getting along and everything that's spoken is negative? It started off bad, but now it's worse. Why? Because you kept speaking those negative things into existence, and before you know it, you can hardly look at each other, right? Am I just preaching to me or what? You know, them things happen. I mean, it happens, you know. And so, like I've always said, whenever I get irritated at my wife, I pull out that scripture, he who finds a wife finds a good thing. I may not believe it the first time I say it. You know what I'm saying? She said amen too early, didn't she? Oh my. But, you know, I may not believe it in the beginning, but I'll tell you what, if I keep confessing it, I really know deep down inside, that's my woman. You know what I'm saying? I know that. But every now and then, my head don't believe it. Right? Because my head believed the lie. It believed the lie. And I allowed that lie to stay in there. We're going to get into some deep stuff here in a second. We need to start thinking like winners and not losers. Amen. You know what I'm saying? We need to start to get to the place in life that we're not going to let little petty things, you know, upset us and get us mad so that we don't want to, you know, do the things of God. I mean, I have read the whole Bible. Every year I read the whole Bible. And I know the fact that if I'm in strife with my wife, my prayers are hindered. Well, how many want to go through life with your hands tied behind your back? You know what I mean? Nobody wants that. So I know it's on my part that I need to get along. You know, because I know the enemy's going to come in to try to divide. That's what he does. Now, I don't want to make it sound like we have a bad marriage. We don't. We have a great marriage. But I do know that there's little things that come in that can try to stop us. And, you know, last thing I want as a pastor, as a Christian, is I do not want my prayers hindered. I want to, when I pray, I want to pray in faith and not have them, you know, held back because I can't learn how to live my life by faith and following God. So God used everything that we see. He created it with words. And what happened is that when God said it, see, God believed that what He said was going to come to pass, and He did not doubt. Doubt is one of those D words that we have to deal with. You know, we got doubt, we got depression, all those things that try to come in. And what I found is that when we speak Jesus, we've said it all, right? When we speak Jesus, we've said it all. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. It also says here that He is our apostle and high priest. Now, it's interesting they use these two words, apostle and high priest. They have different functions. One's a New Testament function, and another's kind of an Old Testament function that we understand, you know, that really can be brought over to New Testament. But see, it covers our going out and our coming in. See, apostle means sent one. Or one who's going out into all the world. Then we got the high priest. That the high priest would go to God on behalf of the people, and Jesus is our high priest, and he's made a way for you and I to be able to come into the presence of God. Now, I don't know about you, but I thought worship was really good today. You know, I love that last song. You know, Lord, I need you. How many don't need the Lord? You know what I'm saying? You might even on your best day, we need the Lord, right? Come on. Thank you. I'll tell you what, when we sing and I hear everybody just singing, coming out of their heart, boom, the presence of God. Amen? Amen. The presence of God. And that makes it all worth it. And, you know, I appreciate y'all listening online, but man, you need to be here.
Amen.
If you live within 30 miles of here, you need to get here on Sunday mornings. Amen. We have great worship, and we really get into the presence of God, and it's that important. Next scripture I want to look at is Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. These are old scriptures that always used to fascinate me. And it says, "And he is the radiance of his glory, the exact representation of his nature, and upholds all things by the word of his power. When he had made perfection of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high." So here we see the idea of words have power. See, Jesus, his words is holding everything together that we see right now. He's just holding everything together. You know, I've always thought about this. If Jesus decided not to go into work one day, everything you see would just fall apart. Boom. Because his words, he's holding everything together. And we need to see how important he is in our life. You know, maybe your life's messed up right now a little bit. Maybe you feel that things aren't going the right way. Sometimes it's because we've allowed ourselves to get away from Jesus a little bit. We need to bring him back in. And he can start to turn our life around. We can start to see things, you know, happen. And, you know, his words, you know, like the Bible says, when they have his words have the power or ability to be able to accomplish that for which he is sent. And I don't believe anybody here would deny the power and faith-filled words. I shared a couple weeks ago, Jesus cursed that fig tree, right? Didn't look like anything happened the first day. Well, when they walked right by it the next day, that thing was graveyard dead. Jesus knew that what he spoke was going to come to pass, even though it didn't look like it in the beginning. But he knew when he cursed it. He didn't just curse the leaves, he cursed at the root. It died at the root. And see, maybe you have problems in your life. Maybe you have things that the devil's messing with you. And what happens is that we try to just fix the fruit. But we need to get to the root. Amen?
Amen?
We need to get to the root. See, we keep trying to fix the fruit. And we deal with those things and may go good for a while, but they keep coming back. You know, maybe you have some problems in your life that keep coming back. Well, we need to look past that fruit and get to the root of why those problems are there in the first place.
Amen.
And we can deal with that. Amen?
Amen.
We curse some things at the root, and it dies. They die. And that's what we need to have happen. We need to see these things happen so that our life, you know, can be changed. And usually what happens is that when our life's falling apart, I've found that God hasn't moved, but I've moved. Okay? Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, just one chapter previous. It says, "For this reason, we must pay closer attention to what we have heard so that we will not drift away from it." Okay? That means we hear the word of God and we need to pay attention. We need to stay close to it because what happens is that we start to drift. We need to have our anchor anchored in Jesus Christ. Okay? But sometimes, you know, we pull our anchor up. And the current, it may not look like there's much going on. But little by little, we start to drift. And we drift and we drift and we drift. And then before you know it, we're a little bit farther from Jesus than we need to be. You know what I mean? Like that little kid at the store kind of runs off from mommy. And he's okay as long as he's 20 feet away. But all of a sudden, he gets real bold and he goes, you know, around the corner and he looks back and mommy's gone, man. All of a sudden fear sets in. Where's mommy? You know, I lost my mom. Wah. You know what I'm saying? You know, that's because he ran off. He drifted too far. And see, we need to stay close. It's our job to stay close. A lot of people, you know, here it's summertime. You know, we need a summer jump, not a summer slump, right? You know, we don't take time off from God. I mean, a lot of people, oh, it's summertime, I need to sleep in, I need to do this, I need to do that. You know, sometimes I pray it rains on Sunday. Amen? You know, just so people have to come to church and they can't go golf and they can't go do this other stuff. I'm kidding. I don't do that. We did need the rain, though, praise God. Amen, that was good. We need a little rain. So, when we drift, you know, and, you know, sometimes we let life get in the way of our walk with God, and then we start to drift off course. And when we lose our way, sometimes it seems like there's no way, okay? That's what happens. The enemy comes in, and here's where the battle's at in our mind, okay? That we're going to start to get into that here a little bit. See, we need to make sure that we have Jesus in our life so we can hold it together. And what we have to also be careful of is that our words. See, the words we speak influence the world that we live in, okay? You need to be aware of what the environment is that you're in, okay? We need to be aware of what that environment is. And if your environment isn't what you want, I believe you can change it. You know, there's so many things we can do. Maybe there's strife in the house. Maybe there's, you know, anger, whatever could happen. Maybe it's at work. You know, slip a little praise music on. You know what I mean? Start singing it with the music. Start speaking words of life, words of power. You know, start to turn those situations around. And I guarantee it, your environment will change. Something's got to give, right? Something's got to give. And I believe in the power that's in the Word of God.
Amen.
When we speak faith-filled words, something has to give because there's creative power in our words. So whatever we say. Now, I love the fact, hey, there's creative power in our words. Yay! But how about we're speaking negative stuff? What are we creating? Negative. But if we speak positive things, you know, that we can turn the situation around, that the joy of the Lord is my strength. Amen. Hallelujah. God meets all my needs according to His riches and glory. Yeah. I thank God that I'm the head and not the tail. How many want to be the tail? Nobody wants to be the tail, right? You know, I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not below. You know, all those scriptures. You know, you can, you know, pick some out and just start reading them off and just do that. How often do you do that? Well, every day. Amen. I mean, every day you got to do that sometimes. Turn that situation around. Just don't take it. I mean, my gosh, people, we have the power of God. We have the greater one living inside of us. There's no reason we have to take that.
Amen.
Seriously, I'm just being serious right now. Now, and to be honest, it's unfortunate. You know, I know people's been raised in a negative environment. You know, I feel for you. You know, I know that's tough. I mean, I had some negative words around me every now and then. But I'll be honest, sometimes you got to put your big boy pants on and fight the good fight of faith, you know? You can say, oh, poor me, you know, my mom and dad didn't love me, my mom and dad didn't hug me, my mom and dad, da-da-da-da. Well, you're an adult now. You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
You need to turn this around, or you're going to die this way. That's just the way it is. That'll go with you. It keeps following you until you decide you don't want it no more. I'm done with it. I'm turning around. I'm not going to take that anymore. I have a holy calling. I have a higher calling. You know, I don't have to settle for this kind of life. And we can change that environment, and that's what we need to do. And here's kind of how it works. You know, words enter our mind, okay? So it goes from our mind into the next part, our thought life. What's your thought life? Think about your thought life for a minute. And then it goes from our thought life, and then we act upon it, okay? Now, to me, I'm going to speak computer geek right now. I think everybody can hang with me. Our mind is like a hard drive. It's a storage thing, right? We put stuff in our mind. There's stuff that goes in there. I mean, thoughts come from the devil, too. You know what I mean? Negative thoughts and all that, and they've got positive thoughts. So, all you know, our mind is like a hard drive. Well, It's just in there. But then we have an operating system. Now, you know what that is, right? Remember Windows Vista? That was a disaster, wasn't it? Then you had Windows 7 and Windows 10. Now we're up to Windows 11. That's what you need to operate, you know, the programs that you want to run on your computer. You know, I liked Windows 10. I just got a new laptop. It has Windows 11, so I modified it so it looked like Windows 10 a little bit because I liked that. I was just used to it. But you need that operating system. And so the operating system is our thought life. See, it's whatever you think about the most, That's what's really important. Whatever your mind is on, and then through that operating system, we run that program, and that's what comes out in the life that we live. So there's a lot of things in our mind. Now, I'll tell you this, and don't feel any sometimes we cannot control every thought that comes into our mind. We can't control those. We can't stop those all the time. We live in a world that brings all this negativity and all this death. You know, all these things on the commercials, they're selling death, you know, in the news. A lot of it's death, you know, bad things, you know, keeps bombarding our mind. Those thoughts keep coming into our mind. But you know what? We get to choose what we think about, right? That's your will. You have a will, right? And when you put your will to something, that's when things start to change, okay? So all these negative thoughts attack us, but then, you know, what we choose to keep operating in our mind, that's our thought life, okay? That we have some say, we have some control over that. We can choose what we allow to stay in there. That's up to you. God won't do it for you. You have to do it. You have to choose what you choose to think about. Whether you want to think about the worst case scenario, or you want to think about the blessings and the glory of God, amen, and the things that could happen if we just put our faith in God. You know, that we start to see things, you know, for what they are through the eye of faith. And that's important that we do that. You know, what we think about is so important, our thought life. It kind of depicts which way we're going, where we're going to go. And, you know, the thing is, we cannot access our faith program if we're using the old nature or flesh operating system. We need to have our faith operating system, our new system, the new life in Jesus Christ. That needs to be operating in our life, our thought life. And then we can start to use these other things. You know, I'm old enough to know that, you know, that there's a lot of things that every time they change something, yes, it is better. But sometimes them old programs don't work. You know, we had the church, we had this old accounting program called Money Counts. We had it for years. And it came out well before, you know, other stuff, and it just kept working. Ding, ding, ding. Until Windows 10. When Windows 10 came out, it quit working. It wouldn't work no more. It wasn't compatible. So, had to buy something else. Or I could choose to stay in the old way. So when we have the new life coming, there's always newer and better things coming into our life. And we have to understand that we need to hold on to those things. I need to speed up the process here, don't I? I got a little sidetracked there. Now I want to look at my last point is Romans chapter 4, verse 16 and 17. It says, therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the purpose might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also those who are of faith in Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him who believed, that meaning God, and then who gives life to the dead and calls those things that do not exist as though they did. You know, that's New King James. Old King James, call things that aren't as though they are. You know, sometimes we have to get to that place, you know, when we're starting to operate in the things of faith and that new operating system, the new life. You know, we have to make that transition from just, you know, taking things that they are and believing that's how it's got to be, but it don't have to be that way. We can call them how we want to be sometimes. So let's talk about faith and action. See, Abraham was pre-law. You know, he was before the law. And see, to me, it talks here that without faith, we cannot fully understand grace. That's how important faith is, to be able to tap into these things. And without grace, you and I get back into works. Now, the Bible says that Abraham believed God and was reckoned to him as righteousness. He got right standing with God. Now, God promised Abraham when he was up in age, old, that his descendants would be as many as the stars or as the grains of sand. Now, this promise was given to Abraham when he was older and his wife was older. They were past childbearing age. And God said, hey, this is what's going to happen. So I don't know about you, but as you get older, you know, you kind of understand some things. But see, Abraham had a unique thing. He took God at his word. For whatever reason, Abraham could just believe God. If God said it, bless God, that's the way it's going to be. Here he was, up in age, maybe 90 years old. And God said, you're going to have some kids, or your descendants are going to outnumber the stars and the sands of the sea. I don't know about you. That would take great faith. Great faith. Lived all these years wanting to have a kid. Never worked out. Even he went and, you know, and did some things and got in some trouble. But anyway, just one of those things, you know. And see, faith is the key to the creative power of God. And some people, they just call him how they see him. But we need to call them as we want them to be. Maybe you have a kid that's not living like you want to live. And stop saying that they're doing so many things wrong, but start saying the things that you want them to be. You're the righteous of God in Christ Jesus. God has a call on your life. You know, God's going to deliver you by the power of his Spirit. You know, instead of saying, you know, you're just like so-and-so. You're always going to be like that. You're never going to amount to nothing. Start speaking life. Start speaking creative power of God. Start to see them things, you know, turned around. And see, faith is, like I said, is not built on blind trust, but it's built on taking God at his word. And I want to give us, what happens when we apply faith to our lives as we close here. First thing, when you do this, our faith is tested. You're going to be tested, and that's normal. See, nobody likes tests, but one thing about a test, they reveal what you know, right? They reveal what you know. You know, you may think you know everything, then you take the test and you get a 60. Maybe I need to study. Maybe I need to read a little more. You know, instead of watching Netflix all night, maybe I need to open the book a little bit. Praise God. So tests are good. Number two, our faith is stretched. You know, when we start to believe for bigger things. You know, we live in a world that's lost and dying, and it's going to take great faith to reach them. That means we need to step out and to really believe God for great things. And, you know, we want to see people saved and living a good life. Number three, unbelief is revealed so it can be dealt with. You know, some people, when they don't have enough faith to get what they may be believing for, they take it as a negative. Don't, just take it as a learning experience. Don't let it get you down. You know, you're not a failure. Even though you may have failed, you're not a failure. You know, it just revealed some areas, you know, that we have unbelief in, that we don't trust God in, and that's fine because we all have those. I mean, I'm the first in line to know I have some unbelief in my life I got to get rid of. And then lastly, our faith gets stronger. You know, we are so used to instant gratification that we forget that delay will only strengthen our faith. You know, delay. Sometimes there's delay. You may pray for something and say, man, it's not right there right now. But that's okay. Hold your resolve. Hold on to that promise. Hold on to the things that God has for you. And you're going to see it. It's going to come to pass. Amen? We need great faith. Amen? Let's close.
Thank you, Father.
Hallelujah.